Hi, Abby, the guys, good to see you. You know, I haven't, like, got loads to share this morning. I just want to say a few things. But first off, right, I don't know what you think the reason is that Jesus came. I don't know why you believe that Jesus came to earth, or if you know anything about him. And there's loads of, like, different things that people say, right, about Jesus. But this is what Jesus says. We'll kick off. This is why Jesus came, okay? This is the reason. Jesus said that the thief comes to only to steal, kill and destroy. That's Satan. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. But this is why Jesus comes. Jesus came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know what? Christianity isn't about a list of rules and regulations. Christianity is about real, true life. Life. And you might be like, but I've got life, I'm living and breathing. But life is much more than just like living and breathing. Life is much more than just the clothes you wear and the food you drink, the drink you drink. This is what Jesus said life is about. If you go on to the next slide, though. This is what Jesus said real life, eternal life is about. And this is what Christianity is. This is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That is eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God, knowing the one who made you, knowing your Creator who made you, and being in a connection, being in a relationship with Him. The Bible's really clear. If someone doesn't know Jesus, they don't have life. And Jesus never says anything to like show you up, like just beat you down and just say, look how rubbish you are. Jesus says, listen, real life is knowing me. Real life is being in a relationship with me. And I want to ask you right off the bat, do you know Jesus? Not just know about him, not just know about churchy things or religion. Do you know him personally in a relationship with him? Because that's why Jesus came. And like Sunday morning is great, but let's rewind back a bit to Good Friday. I want to talk about Good Friday. Because when Jesus says, I came to give you life, that is such an awesome thing. But it shows up something in our own lives. It shows us that without him, we don't have life. Without God, there is no real life. There is no eternal life. And the reason that we don't have that life in ourselves is a thing that Michelle talked about. And it's not talked about a lot nowadays, but it's sin. It's all of the bad things that we think and do, you know, when we always put ourselves first. And I'm not saying I'm any better than you are, because I'm a sinner as well. And all that, but all those bad things, the Bible says, they're like a barrier between us and God. And because God is so good and pure and holy and different from us, he can't even look upon those bad things. And there's nothing that we can do ourselves, right, to take that barrier out of the way. Nothing. And these are the kind of things that humans try to do. They try and go to church. They try and, like, be better themselves. Our New Year's resolutions, I'll just be better from now on. But the thing is, those things will never take that barrier out of the way. Never. But Jesus, that's why he came. Jesus came to take the sin barrier out of the way between us and God. He came to take it out of the way. The only way he could take that out of the way is by dying. The Bible's really clear that what we get for sin is death. That's like what we get for sin. But Jesus loves you so much. Please listen to what I'm saying. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to die the death that you deserve. He literally died for you in your place. For all the wrong things that you've done. Everything. He took the punishment that you deserve. The Bible says that he was wounded for our transgressions or our stuff that we've done wrong. He was taking the punishment for that. In another place it says this: Jesus personally carried your sins in his body on the cross. On the cross, He took all of your sin upon himself. And it was there that he died for it. And he took the barrier between you and God out of the way. That's what Good Friday is about. That's why Good Friday is so awesome for us. Because as Christians, that's where all our sin was taken away. The punishment was paid. You know, the story doesn't end there. It would be really bad if it ended there. But now I just want to read. Right? We'll read the Easter story together. This account of the Easter story is from Matthew. We'll just read through it together. So they've just taken Jesus down from the cross and then we pick up the story. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen shroud, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest or just in case his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is what happened next, the resurrection. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. The guards saw the angel, they fainted. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I've told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with great fear and joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." You know, I'm just going to say a few things now, right? Well, as a Christian, as someone who's come to know Jesus, what the resurrection reminds me of, and the great joy it gives me as a Christian. And my hope in doing that is to show anyone here who isn't in a relationship with Jesus, to show you how awesome he is, what you can have. And at the end, if you see those things and you taste them and you think, "Yeah, that's good. I need some of that. I want some of that." I'm going to tell you at the end that you can have it. You can. And the first thing I want to say that the resurrection reminds me of is this. Next one, Ben. That all my sin has been completely forgiven. I don't know if that sounds good to you or not, guys. It probably sounds good to you if you know that you've done stuff wrong. If you don't really think that you've done anything wrong, if you don't really think you're that bad, this isn't going to sound that good to you because you don't think you're that bad. But I know I'm just a wretch. I know I'm so bad that this is just awesome. All my sin has been completely forgiven. All of it. When Jesus died on the cross, it was like the Bible says there was a written list that was against me of all the things I've ever done wrong. Lying, stealing, thieving, watching pornography, lusting, all of that stuff. You look at your list. And the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, God looked at that. God took that list of bad stuff. He put it on Jesus. Jesus had done nothing wrong. But he took your list of stuff on himself. And the Bible says that he nailed it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. And at the bottom, it was like Jesus wrote in his own blood, paid in full. It's all paid for. It's all finished. I'm going to use an analogy, right? And every analogy comes up short. But say if you had such a heavy amount of debt against you and you couldn't pay it off, there was no way. And then someone came along and they said, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to write you a check to pay it off completely. And he wrote a check and he paid all your debt off. But then a couple of weeks later or a couple of days later, it comes back and someone tells you, the banker tells you, you know that check that guy wrote you? It bounced. He didn't have the money. He said he could pay it off, but it bounced. You're still in your debt. The resurrection of Jesus shows that when Jesus paid for all of my sin, it was totally paid for and finished. And because he rose from the dead, that shows that what he did was complete. If he stayed dead, right? If Jesus stayed dead, he would be no different from anyone else. But he didn't. He rose from the dead. And the Bible puts it like this. If you click on the next one, Ben. If Christ hasn't been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Paul says that the guy who wrote this, who wrote half the New Testament, says, you know what, if Jesus isn't risen, you should feel sorry for Christians. You should really feel sorry for us because we're deluded. We're saying that we know this guy who is dead. And Paul says, if Jesus hasn't been raised, you're still in your sins. Your debt hasn't been paid. You're like the weight of all the guilt and stuff hasn't been lifted. But Jesus has been raised. Jesus has been raised. And that means that if you come to him, you can have all of your sin, all of your list of stuff you've done wrong, completely forgiven. Completely forgiven forever. I hope that hits home with you today. Seriously, I hope that hits home. Everything you've ever done wrong, wiped clean. That's the first thing the resurrection shows me. I can have all my sin completely forgiven. Another verse says he was handed over. He was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. This is the second thing that the resurrection reminds me. That Jesus is totally trustworthy. If you put the verse up, Ben. The angel said, he's not here, for he's risen. But then he just says this, as he said. Jesus, right, every word that came out of his mouth was truth. He always told the truth. He never told one lie. And the more someone tells the truth, the more trustworthy they become, isn't it? If someone's told you a lie in the past, you think, oh, I'm not going to trust them. They're always lying. But if they, tell the truth for a long time after that, you might be like, yeah, I'm starting to trust him a bit more now. Starting to trust him. Well, Jesus never told one lie. Jesus never told any lies. But the icing on the cake, he said, I'm gonna die, I'm going to be crucified, and after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And you know what? He did it. He rose from the dead. And people don't just go around saying things like that willy-nilly. Oh, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised from the dead. And if someone did say that, you'd be like, well, I'm not going to believe you unless it happened. I'm not going to believe what you say unless it happened. Well, Jesus said he was going to be raised from the dead, and he was. And that reminds me that every single thing that Jesus says to me, that Jesus says to you, you can completely trust 100%. You can trust him today. I don't know if there's been someone in your life who you just couldn't trust. Well, Jesus isn't like that. Jesus is good and trustworthy. And that means that you can trust him with your life. You can. You can trust him with your life. Jesus doesn't just give like good thoughts for the day. He doesn't just like give a nice tidbit of thought for the day. The things he says like really matter. And Jesus said things like this. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now you can trust that. Jesus says that he's the only way to heaven. You know what the world will tell you today? That every road leads to God. You know, your way's your way, that way's that way, and they'll all lead to God. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, I'm the way. Jesus says, I'm the only way. And that you can bank on that because everything he said is true. And he says things like that because he loves you so much. If you take any other road, if you try and fix yourself, if you try and like look for the answer in yourself instead of coming to him, you'll die in your sins and you'll go to a terrible place that the Bible calls hell forever. But Jesus doesn't want you to go there. He doesn't want you to go there so much that he says, come to me. All those other ways are wrong. I will give you life. Jesus says, I will. No one else. And you can trust him when he says that. You can trust him when he says, I'm the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. Come to me. But this is the other thing, the last thing that the resurrection reminds me. That my hope will never die. Ever. You know, hope's a weird word in the world. It's kind of like, well, do you think you'll go to heaven? And then people say, I hope so. Or do you think it's going to be a nice day tomorrow? And they'll be like, I hope so. But the problem with that kind of hope is if the thing that you're hoping in doesn't deliver, you end up disappointed. Like if you're banking everything that it's going to be a nice day tomorrow, you're planning a day out with the family and it rains, you're gutted. You're just like, oh, I totally lost hope. But the thing is, when your hope's in Jesus, when your hope's in him as a person, your hope will never die because he will never die. He died once for sins, once. The just, that's him, for the unjust, that's me and you, that he might bring us to God. He's never going to die again. And that means if you put your hope in him, you will never be disappointed. Ever. You will never be disappointed. You will never lose hope. And that's why the hope of the Bible is much more than the hope of this world. It's a steadfast assurance that I know 100% that I'm going to heaven. I know today, standing here before you, 100% that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And that's not because I'm good enough, because I'm not. Please hear me on this. I'm not good enough. But it's because Jesus is good enough. He's good enough to get me into heaven. He's good enough to get me in, and he's good enough to get you in. If you're relying on any stuff that you've done to get you into heaven, please, today, just leave it, please, because it won't get you in. It will not get you in. It's not good enough. Come to Jesus, and he's good enough to get you in. And the resurrection shows me, reminds me, that my hope will never die. It will never die. Just to sum up what I've said today, okay, if you're not a Christian, if you don't know Jesus, like, if I'm not talking about whether you went to church, I'm not talking about whether you've been christened, I'm not talking about any of that stuff. Jesus said eternal life is knowing him. Do you know him? If you don't know him, my plea to you today is come to know him. I've talked today about knowing that your sins are forgiven. You can have that. You can know that today. You can know that everything you've ever done wrong is forgiven. You can know that he is absolutely trustworthy. That he will be with you every step of the way, that everything he says to you is true, and that he will never let you down. You can know that today. And you can have a hope that will never die. You can have an assurance that when you die, you will go to heaven. You can have a hope that will take you through any trial, any hardship. This life is hard. This life is hard. But Jesus says, if you have hope in me, that hope will never die. And you can be assured of heaven. And if that sounds good today, and to be totally honest, I don't know why that wouldn't sound good. If that sounds good to you today, you can have it. You can have it today. And this is why. And this is the last thing. The resurrection reminds me that because Jesus is alive, he can give others life. And he can give life to you today, like he did for me. 5 years ago, right, I was dead. The things I was doing were making me feel like I was alive because, you know, sin isn't like, it doesn't look that bad. In fact, it's quite nice. But I was dead inside because I didn't know Jesus and I didn't know God. But he raised me from the dead and he gave me life. And the resurrection reminds me today that Jesus can give you life. If you don't know Jesus, you can know him because he's alive. He's alive today. Jesus said this thing, right, to this group of religious people. It's the next thing. They were trying so hard to get right with God themselves. They were trying so much to fix themselves. And Jesus said, you search the scriptures. Like they read their Bibles like all the time, or the Old Testament. They read it and read it and read it. They did all these things. They got dressed up. They went to church. Because they thought that by doing those things, they'd have life. But Jesus said this, you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And that's what Jesus is saying today, right now to us here. Jesus says, I don't want you to like be a religious person. I don't want you to try and fix yourself. Jesus says right here and right now, and guys, I believe that he's speaking. He says, come to me. Come to me, because in me is life. Jesus died, right, to take the barrier that's stopping you coming to him out the way. Now the only thing that is stopping you coming to him is yourself. It's up to you. Jesus is there saying, come to me. Come to me now and I'll give you life. And this is the last thing I want to end with. You might be like, I still don't get it. What do I need to do to become a Christian? What do I need to do to have this life? Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever, no one's too bad for Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone comes to me, I'll never turn him away. If anyone comes to me, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, I'll give you life and I'll give you forgiveness. And he says, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You can have that today by just believing that Jesus died on the cross for you. Believing that God raised him from the dead. And then just saying, Jesus, I come to you. Here I am. I've got nothing to offer you. Will you give me life? Will you give me eternal life? If today, right, the first time you've realized that Christianity isn't about a list of rules and stuff, it isn't about coming to church, it isn't about this or that, it's about knowing Jesus. If today's the first time you've realized that, the gift he gives is free and it's available to you today. I think we're going to sing a few songs after it, is it, Di? And like, as Christians, those of us who are Christians, we're just going to thank God for what he's done. We're just going to say thank you for what you've done. You know, if you don't know him, as we're singing, just say, Jesus, take me as I am. come to him, and he says he'll give you life.